First Up continues here on TSN 1050. Aaron Corona, Carlo Kuliakova with you. We'll have Canada versus Morocco tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. I will be on my way to Mexico, but Matthew Cause will be sitting in my seat. Coco will be here, of course, and I'm looking forward to seeing that game. And I know it doesn't have any significance for Canada's standing in the World Cup. They have been eliminated, but Morocco's a quality side. They played some excellent football so far in the World Cup. And I'm hopeful Canada can get a result, which has never happened before in our country's soccer history, for the men's side anyways. And I'm somewhat optimistic that'll be the case, Coco.
Look, I think I share that same optimism. I mean, you know, aside from the disappointment of the result, 4-1 losing to Croatia, I think, you know, considering where they're at and what they're facing, you got to draw the positives from that game. The positives was they got off to a great start. They scored a goal. And, you know, it was a learning lesson for them. And if there's a positive to be built, they got one game left. No pressure. Go out and just play the game that you love on the world stage.
Go out and F Morocco up. Let's bring in Kyle Bond, who covers soccer for the Sporting News, on Twitter, at the Bonfire. What a
handle.
What's going on, Kyle?
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Not too much. It's been a fun tournament so far. I know things didn't go the way that Canada wanted, but still have been one of the more exciting sides to watch. So I think overall it's been a good time.
What do you make of the game tomorrow for Canada against Morocco? Do you buy into the narrative that they still have a lot to play for in spite of not actually really having a lot to play for?
Yeah, I actually do. I know that that can sound kind of fluffy and a little bit coach speak, but I actually do. I think they have really do have to back up the idea that this team belongs, right? They showed that they could fight in the first game against Belgium. What they didn't show is that they could get a result. And that matters. I think that the team has shown a really good ability to play an exciting style as an underdog, right? Like a lot of times you see a team bunker, right? You look at a lot of the other Arabic teams. I mean, Iran, particularly, you know, watching them against the United States and against England. You know, that's just the style that they play, and that's fine. But obviously supporters love to watch exciting football. They like to watch counterattacks, things like that. And Ecuador has done that really well. Ecuador has done the absorb pressure and counter really well. Now, it didn't work out for them either, but they were fun to watch. I think Canada needs to prove that they can do that, like Ecuador has. They got results. It didn't make it through, but they got points. And Canada, I think, has a lot to prove here that, hey, we can play the style that we want to play and get results. So while the first two games were big lessons to learn for Canada, which will be very valuable, this third game is all about proving that you can get a result. And I think that will earn a new level of respect if they can do that.
So, Kyle, yesterday, you, of course, are an American, and the American side picks up a 1-0 win over Iran. Christian Pulisic scores in the 38th minute. The U.S. holds on for dear life in the second half into extra time as well. And now the Americans faced with a daunting matchup against the Netherlands with their best player, at least banged up. He says he's going to play, remains to be seen. What type of odds do you give on the U.S. side, at least keeping it competitive with the Netherlands?
Yeah, gosh. It's going to be tough. Look, this is the way I've kind of framed it, because I wrote an article yesterday like, can they beat the Netherlands? As far as round of 16 draws go for a team that finished second in their group, this is a really good draw for the U.S. That does not mean it's going to be easy, right? Mm. But you could have gotten Argentina. You could have gotten Spain. You could have gotten France. Instead, you pulled Group A, which had the hosts and no pot one team. So you've got the Netherlands. They looked really shaky in both of their first two games. They looked really shaky in the opener against Senegal and got two really late goals. They looked really shaky against Ecuador. They got beat up by Ecuador. Managed to get a point out of that game. So the Netherlands have done really well at getting results when they didn't have their best. That can go both ways, right? That can mean, look, we need to bring our A-plus game in order to beat this team, even if they don't bring their A-plus game. Or it could mean this team is vulnerable. And so you can kind of frame it in both different ways. I think this team is vulnerable, this Netherlands team. Mm-hmm. They have one young guy who has stepped up and been a great goal scorer for them in Cody Gakpo, which you can just imagine the dollar signs that PSV are seeing through Cody Gakpo right now. But Memphis Depay is injured and hasn't started any of their first two games. I don't think he started any of their games. And so they've really struggled to put together consistent attacking pressure. And the U.S. managed a clean sheet against England, who is much better going forward. So I think the U.S. has a real chance in this game.
Yeah, and if you just evaluate how the U.S. got here, I mean, it was a penalty kick goal in the first game that drew against Wales. I thought, and most people will probably agree, they dictated the pace against the England team that, you know, they drew a 0-0 draw from. And then they did what they had to do against Iran, which you'd have to think, for Iran, it was somewhat of a home game, but they walked into that and dictated the pace, found a way to get the early goal, and held on. And I guess my question to you is, Kyle, coming into this tournament, U.S. wasn't playing very well. They were actually, I don't think they had a win in their last six games. And the expectation for this group wasn't even to advance past the group stage because most people said they're just too young. So are you surprised to see the U.S. team at this point?
I would not say I'm surprised. I think that, look, for whatever reason, and I can't figure it out, a lot of fans really just don't like Greg Berhalter. I don't quite get it. I think there's a little bit of Euro love here in the United States for players and coaches who coach or play in Europe rather than MLS. There's kind of this feeling that MLS, if we play MLS players or if we have an MLS coach, it makes us less than. There's a little bit of an inferiority complex. And so there's this very irrational hate around Greg Berhalter. And I think Greg Berhalter has done a fabulous job in this tournament. He struggles with substitutions in the second half, and I think it's a problem. But other than that, he has done an excellent job at getting this team. You talk about the Netherlands getting results without having their best. This team for the United States has also done a great job at getting results without having their best. I don't think this is quite the way that Greg Berhalter envisioned them playing in the World Cup maybe 2 years ago. He wanted this team to play a high press and to hold significant amounts of possession. They have not been able to do that, mostly because they don't have a striker. And without that guy who can really force a team to respect the goal scoring presence, everything falls apart after that.
Yeah.
And so he's done a great job to get this team to get results without playing as attractive of a style as he probably wanted to. And you got to give him a lot of credit. In fact, both the first two games, Wales and England, the coach of the opposition after the game mentioned Berhalter in particular, that he had done something in that game they weren't expecting. Wales, the coach Rob Page said, hey, Berhalter changed the press and we weren't ready for that. And Southgate, we all saw it, he said they changed to a 4-4-2. We weren't ready for that. So Berhalter's done a great job at getting results, probably not in the way that he wanted to, and it has kind of been ugly. But I think they'll try to muck it up against the Netherlands as well. And I think they'll really go for a result there, and I think they have a good chance at it. And it starts defensively with this team, which is not how they wanted to play two years ago they looked ahead to the World Cup.
Should be a lot of fun. Best of luck on Saturday. We've got Australia-Denmark at 10 a.m. here on TSN 1050, Poland and Argentina at 2 p.m. Thank you for doing this, Kyle.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Anytime.
You're the man. The bonfire. Yeah. Kyle Bond from the Sporting
News.
Those
marshmallows out.
Could go for a marshmallow right now. Nothing better. Open fire. Crisp up a schmellow.
Yep.
Get it cooking.